Blog Talk Radio.
Politics is defined by the Oxford Dictionary as the activities associated with the governance of a country or area, especially the debate between parties having power. The activities of governments concerning the political relationships between states. A particular set of political beliefs or principles. The principles relating to or inherent in a sphere or activity, especially when concerned with power and status. Activities aimed at improving someone's status or increasing power within an organization. Is politics in the Capitol really representing you? You as an individual, the U.S. as a country? Are the decisions being made in our Congress leading the world? What impact are these decisions having, especially on your life? Are you ultimately responsible? Have you taken your role seriously by voting? What is Congress' voting record on disability? Will you vote in 214 to improve the conditions of your country and hold your representatives responsible? Let's talk about this today and lead the way for better legislation to help people injured in a car accident. Welcome and thank you for joining Talking About You with Estra live on Block Talk Radio this February 23rd, 2013. This is your car accident talk radio show, sharing information and concerns that help you. Yes, you matter and you count. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. What political impact do insurance companies and employers have on your daily life? On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies and self-insured employers, on top of coping with everyday situations from being involved in a car accident, are up for discussion. Our political system is, in fact, part of this process. This show is really about you. Dial 718-766-4385. Again, that's 718-766-4385 and participate in today's broadcast. Someone injured just like you who is interested in participating in our political process needs to hear your story of how you've been impacted by the process of our political system. What are the struggles and the legislation enacted to help your condition after being in a collision? Personally, firsthand, I know your situation. I have dealt with insurance companies such as USAA, GEICO, PIMCO, Progressive, Farmers, Allstate, The Hartford, Premier, Blue Cross, United Healthcare, Medicare, LifeWise Insurance Company, Social Security, and employer S&C Lavalin Constructors, previously known as Enron. But first, our personal injury in the news this week. These are my views on current events in the news and have no association with the writers of the story. From time to time, I'll stop and take a moment to comment on a section. This week's personal injury information comes from CNN blog, and the title is Three Dead After Las Vegas Strip Shooting Crash. And it is by Jason Hanna and Joe Sterling. And the full story can actually be read at CNN link that's out on our Facebook at Estra's Blog Tips. Quote, police have just released what they believe led to this morning's shooting and fiery crash that left 3 people dead on the Las Vegas Strip. It began with a dispute in a valet area in the area hotel, Sheriff Douglas Gillespie told reporters moments ago, citing witnesses. After the altercation, the participants drove north on Las Vegas Boulevard in 2 vehicles, a black Range Rover Sport and a Maserati, and someone from the Range Rover fired into the Maserati, killing the driver and wounding a passenger. The Maserati then continued into a section with Flamingo Road near the Caesars Palace and Flamingo Casinos and struck a taxi, causing a chain crash that involved 4 other vehicles. 2 people inside the taxi died. 3 other people in the crashes suffered minor injuries, Gillespie said. 3 people are dead, and at least 3 others wounded after a shooting and fiery car crash that shook the Las Vegas Strip early Thursday morning, police said. The incident began around 4:20 a.m. when someone in the SUV stopped at a stoplight on Las Vegas Boulevard near Caesars Palace and a number of other casinos, fired into the Maserati that also had stopped at the light, police said. The Maserati moved into the intersection with Flamingo Road and collided with the taxi, starting a chain of crashes that involved 4 other vehicles, police said. And that's the end of the quote. You know, I'm not sure why today we're handling our conflicts in such a way. I don't know if it's because of so much stress is being placed on our families, and there's a lot of difficult situations in people's lives, but a lot of people lost their lives in this incident, and a lot of people will be forever changed because of it. I would just only ask that the next time you're in a situation where you feel that you've had enough, that you would consider what that really means and what the repercussions are for you and the people that you might be upset with. Life is really too short to have so much suffering, and today it seems like we have more suffering than it needs to be. So none of us really know the true reason for what's really happened in this situation, but there are going to be a lot of families hurting because they're going to be missing their loved ones. So, you know, it's a lot easier to show a little love than a little hate. So, I wish everyone the best wishes and my condolences to the families that are going through this tragedy. Now for my commentary on you and politics. Did our politics allow the dumbing down of America, moving jobs abroad for greed by using automated systems, only to learn the skills and knowledge U.S. citizens uniquely developed over generations is not easily replaced, breaking down our economy by almost completely eliminating working class personal gain, leaving Americans hungry, homeless, jobless, and with a great deal of hopelessness. However, the determination and ingenuity of this population will prevail. And despite having to pick up the pieces, people are creative, which means finding their own path to restoration. Once restored, citizens will remember their survival is lost when giving those who live by the creed of greed and have more interest in serving their own political careers than the people and the country they serve. Are you poor today? Do you realize you are not alone? Recognize the very large pool you belong to right now in our society. In fact, you have a great deal of political power as a group if you choose to use it. Make the decision to run for political office to protect your interests. Help our country become a fair and just society. Are you middle class? You too should run for political office. Use your knowledge for the betterment of everyone instead of taking care of the wealthy. Our society will become more fair and just by your efforts. Are you wealthy? Do you believe in opportunities for everyone? Realize you've gotten where you are by having a chance to grow and realize your potential. Everyone deserves this chance, creating a respected global power. A country people from all over the world will want to come and become citizens because our society will be more fair and just. In my opinion, when a society chooses to prey on the poor, disabled, or those who start from a disadvantaged position, our society declines morally and economically. It is our political system's job to keep a balance for all its people. Interest rates for borrowing are astronomical for the working class, and our interest paid on investments create enormous wealth for a few. People recognize this injustice. These wealth takers are getting more from the fabric of our society than they are giving. When our political process does not protect its most vulnerable citizens, but decides that the sequester is more important for a few and too big to fail, did not bring enough destruction to those who work very hard daily to keep our country together, then it is time for a change in the people in our politics. In the Wild Wild West, we had guns, but most people used them responsibly and held themselves to a high standard, meaning they had self-respect, and the majority of people stood up for what was best for everyone. No one would stand by as innocent children are killed because of laws that protect those who disrespect life. How civilized are we today? Have we gone backwards instead of forwards? What direction is our politics going today? Take time to learn what is going on in your community. What is having an impact on your family? How would you participate in our politics? And what would that do for your friends, your family, and your community? By all means, get involved now. Really, it is really about you. Does it matter whether you're abled or disabled? No. Does it matter whether you're poor or rich? No. Again, does it matter your skin tone? Absolutely not. No. What does matter is that you act today, that you choose to speak out about disability harassment and intimidation by insurance companies or employers, that you speak out against hunger and homelessness and joblessness. Many people are in a world of hurt right now. Talking is good, but action is better. Support political officials who vote on issues that help you. Frequent businesses that pay a living wage. Yes, you have political power, a lot of power. But will you use it? Or will you give it up to someone who is not working in your best interest? In fact, they might be working against you. What will you do right now to get involved in politics? What does it take? You. Yes, just you. Start by simply following what your representatives are doing. I can almost guarantee before you know it, your niche will be found. There is a very large pool of concerns in our society right now, and you need to be a part of this process to address them and resolve them. It really is about you. From a recovery perspective of a car accident to actually being a part of our political system. This world needs each and every one of us. Don't leave your spot empty. A vacant place at the political table is a missed opportunity for you and for those needing your support. You matter and you count. Let's make politics work for all people, which means your support and efforts will make a big difference in making dreams come true for all of us. You are here for a reason. How would I, Esther, define politics? Quote, a government comprised of the poor, the middle class, the rich, made up of Native Americans, Asian Americans, Hispanic Americans, Pacific Island Americans, African Americans, white Americans, and multi-ethnic Americans are all American. End quote. An inclusive place where everyone has a place in our political system and their values and opinions are implemented into the fabric of our society, eliminating today's exclusion. A question to think about today is, are you a registered voter in 2014? And how long are you willing to wait in line in order to cast your vote? Email your comments to Estra's Radio Show at Block Talk Radio or estrastv@gmail.com. Again, comments on the articles reviewed today are my opinions and have no association with the writers of them. From time to time, as usual, I'll be stopping to make comments on a section. So let's review the decisions being made politically regarding disabilities. And let's take a look at the congressional record of the 112th Congress for 2011 to 2012. Actually, we're going to just take one specific item because otherwise we'll run out of time. Today is a review of a Senate hearing dated August 2, 2012 in regards to the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. Quote, and Mr. Durbin is talking to the president. He says, Mr. President, last week, the Senate Foreign Relations Committee reported out the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. How fitting that this treaty was considered and passed by the Senate Foreign Relations Committee on the 22nd anniversary of the enactment of Americans with Disabilities Act. If anyone questions how important this treaty is to the millions of Americans living with disabilities, all they need to do was look around the room at the hearing earlier this month. The hearing room was filled to capacity, standing room only, with people urging the Senate to ratify this important document. I need to stop here for just a minute. Excuse me. There are so many people with disability issues that are just screaming to have their situation known and for things to be done to make it equal playing field for them. So I'm not surprised that the room was filled. In fact, I personally believe that when people are given an opportunity to make the changes that are necessary to make their lives better since becoming disabled, or whether they were born with a disability, which, first of all, in my opinion, doesn't mean that they're any different from anyone else. Everyone has strengths and weaknesses. They are a skill set, and each person should be evaluated on their skill set. Okay, I'm going to go back into the Senate's hearing notes. The United States has led the world in creating the legal framework, building the infrastructure, and designing facilities that ensure inclusion and opportunity for those living with a disability. We celebrated the 22nd anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, which is ADA, by reporting the treaty out from the Foreign Relations Committee on a strong bipartisan basis. I thank Senator Kerry for holding that hearing and moving the treaty through the committee process. So thank you, Senator. This is me interjecting here. Thank you, Senator Kerry, for actually realizing how important it is for people with disabilities to be able to have the same opportunities. And I hope that maybe you'll consider taking up ERISA reform. It's really important for those who've been injured in a car accident to get fair treatment from insurance companies and self-insured employers. Okay, I'm going to go back into the hearing. As the majority leader has made clear, the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability will soon be considered on the Senate floor. The members of this body will have an opportunity to affirm our nation's leadership on disability issues by ratifying this important treaty. I hope this will also be done. What it actually says is it says, I hope that we will do so. And I hope we will ratify this treaty with the strong bipartisan support that has always characterized the Senate's work on disability issues. Okay, I just want to stop there for a minute. And that shows you that when the Senate wants to be functional, because in my opinion, it's been very dysfunctional, and I personally believe it's not because they're working in for the people, a portion of them. Some of them are, but many of them aren't, or would be a lot further, in my opinion, in a lot of different areas today. Okay, I'm going to go back into the hearing here. For the 54 million Americans living with a disability, laws like the ADA have provided an opportunity to learn, travel, work, and live independently. And I have to stop real quick. Isn't that what everybody wants? That's all everyone wants, is the opportunity to learn, travel, work, and live independently. And in my opinion, that should be a human right. Okay, I'm going to go on. Perhaps no one knows that better than Ann Ford of Springfield, Illinois. Ann has polio, had polio as a child, and for many years she commuted on crutches. And I have to stop right there, because that shows you the determination of people who are disabled. Do you think people are just going to stop and give up? No! Heck no. People will deal with whatever it is in their life, and they will move forward if given the opportunity. It doesn't matter if it takes longer or what you have to do. Everyone wants to what? To learn, travel, work, and live independently. Okay, I'm going to go on. This challenging and energy-consuming task required Anne to meticulously plan every trip. At the grocery store, Anne would purchase all she needed in 20 minutes in order to be home before becoming exhausted. And just one more quick stop. I don't know if people realize just how difficult it is when you are become fatigued and you're working very hard to do things that most people, if not disabled, most times have enough energy to finish those just daily activities. Okay, I'm going to go back to the article here. After the ADA was enacted, the store manager invited Anne to use a recently purchased electric scooter. Oh my God, I have to stop here. Stores, if you have scooters, electric scooters, you are telling people with disabilities, we want your business. We appreciate your business. Come in. Our store is set up to allow you to be able to do shopping comfortably. Okay, back in. Anne remembers that day clearly, in part because she shopped for an hour and a half going up and down every aisle in the store. And one more quick stop here. You don't realize how you, when you only have so much time or so much energy because of a disability, how you have to plan which stores you go to, how big the stores are, if they actually have an electronic scooter for you to use, if it's available, did they have enough? So this is the reason why I love Target, because ever since I've ever gone there, I've noticed that, except Christmas, of course, which is a time for a lot of things not to be stocked or available, they always have things set up for people with disabilities to get through their aisles. They typically have enough electronic scooters for people to use. So
I have to always give a shout out to Target for thinking about people with disabilities and making it easier for their lives to be able to get to the stores and get the stuff that they need and have enough time to do it. So kudos to you. Okay, back into the article there. After the ADA was enacted, the store manager invited Ann to use a recently purchased electric scooter. Ann remembers that day clearly, in part because she shopped for an hour and a half going up and down every single aisle in the store. Most of us don't give a second thought to buying groceries. So count your blessings if you're one of those. That's mine there. But for Ann and millions like her, our nation's commitment to removing physical barriers have expanded their world. Now we have the opportunity to demonstrate our commitment and advance disability rights around the world by ratifying this treaty. I just have to make another interjection here. We know in our politics, we need not to stop with just the physical. We need to continue with the financial, which is a bigger issue, when you allow insurance companies and self-insured employers not to pay people with disabilities their benefits. My personal opinion is, how many people would be out of poverty if insurance companies and employers were required to pay their disabled their benefits? Okay, I want to go on. The support for this treaty is broad and bipartisan. I thank my friend Senator John McCain for leading this effort with me. He is a great ally, and without him, we would not have made such great progress. So kudos to you, Senator McCain. I also want to thank Senator Barrasso, Harkins, Tom Udall, Moran, Coons for their bipartisan support and dedication to the ratification efforts. This treaty is supported by 165 disability organizations. And that, I just want to stop there for a minute. 165 disability organizations. Can you imagine if we have that many disability organizations in support of this, in working to make people's lives with disabilities more balanced as far as being on the same playing field as those who are abled? Can you imagine what we can really all do together as a community, as a country, as able and disabled, if we make our country one that is filled with respect and dignity for all people, not just lip service, but really mean that? I personally believe all of us would profit and grow emotionally, physically, and financially because we'd be working as one unit. Because, as we can see from Congress, a divided house cannot stand. Okay, I'm going to finish up here. It says, this treaty is supported by 165 disability organizations, including the United States International Council on Disabilities, the American Association of People with Disabilities, Disability Rights Education and Defense Fund, the National Disability Rights Network, 21 veterans group, including, let's see who they have here, the Wounded Warrior Project, the American Legions, the Disabled American Veterans, and veterans of foreign wars are also calling on us, the United States of America, to ratify this treaty. President George H.W. Bush, who signed the ADA into law, and former Senator Bob Dole, a lifelong advocate for disability rights, thank you, Senator Doyle, are strong proponents of this treaty. It's good to know people who are in support, and if you have time, it might be a good idea just to go back and look at the history of your representative and see where they have stood on disability issues. Okay, I'm going to go on. The Convention of the Rights of Persons with Disabilities is a human rights treaty. What is it? Human rights, in my opinion, human dignity. Dignity. Everyone deserves dignity. Okay, I'm going to go on. The Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability is a human treaty that seeks to ensure that people living with disabilities are afforded the same, what is it? They are afforded the same, what is it? They are afforded the same opportunities available to others. Thanks to the ADA and similar laws, the United States has been so successful providing opportunities, increasing accessibility, and protecting the rights of those living with disabilities that our nation is already in full compliance with all the terms of the treaty. I have to stop here. If we are ahead of the game and we're actually showing people and being a leader in showing the world how transforming the lives of disability people with disability transforms our country. It helps everyone. We're more productive. We have a bigger pool of people who are looking for jobs. There's a whole lot of benefits. We understand and get to learn and grow and know about each other. Let me go back before I really get into this. Before transmitting this treaty, the Obama administration conducted an exhaustive comparison of the treaty's requirements to the current U.S. law. You go, Mr. President. This shows you when he actually wants to investigate something, he actually really gets into it, and this is great. It says, it concluded that the United States does not need to pass any new laws, right? No new laws or regulations in order to meet the terms of the treaty. So, I'm just stopping. From our perspective right now, we're already exceeding this treaty. Okay, I want to go back in here. The fact that we already meet or exceed the treaty requirements is a testament to our nation's commitment to equality and opportunity for those living with disabilities. And I need to say, we are moving towards that. We are far from being there, but I'm glad we're moving forward in this situation, at least from my perspective. We'll get to the end of this and find out whether the Congress actually passed this or not. And I hope from my attitude you're getting a hint that it didn't work out quite like we hoped. They are, nevertheless, very important reasons to ratify this treaty. Let me go back a sentence so I make sure you got that. The fact that we already meet or exceed the treaty's requirements is a testament to our nation's commitment to equality and opportunity for those living with disabilities. There are, nevertheless, very important reasons to ratify this treaty. Disabled veterans and other Americans traveling abroad. There are more than 5.5 million veterans living with disabilities, and we're going to have a lot more with the two wars that we've just had, so that number is going to go up a lot, and these individuals have given a lot to make our lives safer and better, so they're right there on the forefront of taking a lot of heat that many Americans will never have a clue about the things that they've been subjected to or the things because of what they've been subjected to they will carry around for the rest of their lives. Okay, I'm going back in. They and thousands of other Americans living with disabilities travel, study, work, and serve overseas, often with their families. Ratifying the treaty will ensure that they enjoy the same accessibilities and opportunities abroad that they have here at home. And I just want to stop here for a moment. So would there be any reason for Congress not to want Americans abroad to be able to, with disabilities, to be able to go in and out of buildings, to be able to get the groceries that they need and to be served in other locations? I can't understand why not. Okay, I'm going to go on. Accessibilities in other countries. Ratifying this treaty will give the United States a seat at the international table so that the United States can provide its guidance and expertise to other countries working to adopt laws, upgrade infrastructures, and modernize facilities to meet a very high standard we have set. I have to stop here for just a moment. If we have set a standard, and it's a high standard, I would think we would be proud to take the lead in helping other countries with that same standard. We do so many other things for countries on a defense level, What about being able to do something that creates a positive energy, helps people rebuild their lives or move forward in their lives, and helps everyone to become, it actually increases their pool of people who are productive? Okay, I'm going to go on here. Leveling the playing field for American businesses. American businesses have invested time and resources to comply with the ADA. I'm going to keep going because I had some things I could really go for there. Businesses in some countries are not required to comply with similar standards. Compliances with treaty levels and playing fields by requiring foreign businesses to meet accessibility standards similar to those in the U.S. I have to stop here. First of all, most of the things that businesses are required to do are not very costly. Most of them are less than $100, and the average is $600 at most. That's a high end. And for the productivity that these businesses get from people with disabilities who have an 80% retention rate, by the way, is unreasonable. I think, in my personal opinion, it's the biases and prejudice coming out in regards to people with disabilities, even though it's been demonstrated that when given the opportunity, they are disabled people work just as hard and are just as eager to make their lives better and be independent as anyone else. So when you see businesses complaining, wonder really what the underground motive really is, because it's not, from my perspective, it is not an issue of money. Okay, I'm going to go on. The new markets for American businesses. We lead the world in developing accessible products and technology. Yay, kudos for that. As other countries comply with the treaty, American businesses will be able to export their expertise and products. And we hear that. They like doing that, exporting their products and our jobs, as we've learned, to the new markets serving the more than one, how many billion people with disabilities around the world? How many? 1 billion people. That's a lot of people. It's a lot of resources. Much better to have them living independently and being able to take care of themselves than having to have someone else do it. So the more independent lives people with disabilities can lead, the better. Okay, I'm going to go on. While this treaty will ensure inclusion and access for those living with a disability, it is also important that we note what the treaty will not do. And this is important. I'm going to stop here for just a second. This is an important thing to look at, too, because then you really begin to wonder why, and I guess I'm going to spill the beans here, why Congress did not ratify this treaty. I'm very disappointed in the divisions there and how it's impacting not only people with disabilities, but our country as a whole, and not for the purpose of the people, but for the greed and for self-interest in our Congress, from my point of view. But I'm going to go on before I get into that. The treaty will not change any U.S. law or compromise U.S. sovereignty in any way. The treaty will not, I repeat, will not lead to new lawsuits. And you know what? I have to stop for this. It will not lead to new lawsuits. Lawsuits would not be, well, most, you know, you're going to have some on the edges there, but most people have no time or energy for lawsuits. The only people who like lawsuits are rich people, because that's their playing field. Poor people take it to the streets, okay? They don't have money to go into court and manipulate the system, from my point of view. From my perspective, there's a lot of things about our justice system we should change. We should call it the injustice system. When people of little means cannot more than likely get a fair shake because they don't have the money or the power to compete in the justice system, that means the majority of people are not going to consider even going to the justice system because they don't view it as being fair. But let me go on, because that's a whole nother story for another day. The treaty will not lead to new lawsuits because in its terms do not create any new rights, and it cannot be enforced in any U.S. court. For families that choose to educate their children at home, the treaty, what is it, will not change any current rights or obligations. What did they say? Will not. And our president went through and thoroughly investigated this to make sure of what the treaty contained and how what the impact would be. The next one. The treaty will not require the U.S. to appropriate any new funds or resources to comply with its terms. Not a single dime. Okay. Leading pro-life groups like the National Rights to Life Committee confirmed that the treaty what does not promote, expand access, or create a right to an abortion. Okay. So any issues people have with this treaty are not in the treaty. Let me go. It says, thanks to decades of bipartisan cooperation. Now, look, can we hear that again? It said, thanks to decades of bipartisan cooperation. So why is there no cooperation now for bipartisanship? What happened to make our country so divided? One African-American president? Or should I say multi-ethnic president? Because that's what he is. He is a multi-ethnic president who cares about everyone. Could someone, and if they would feel this way about a president, how are they feeling about a disabled person? How are they feeling about people of color? What is up? People are white people. There's a lot of white people that go through this stuff. So why are few, or why are we allowing a few in our country to cause so much confusion, to cause so much heartache and suffering, not only with people with disabilities, but people in general, all people, all of us as Americans? We need to think about, are these the people we want representing us? Okay, but let me go on here. It says, when the Senate ratifies the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, we can be proud that our coworkers, friends, family members, and courageous veterans will soon enjoy the same access and opportunity when they travel abroad that they have come to expect here at home. And home is good. This is me adding this. Home is good, but there's still a lot still to do at home. So we need to make sure that that's clear. And you, family, friends, we all need to do our part to make these things happen. It really is up to us. We need to start to do something. But I'm going to actually go right into an ABC News article. It's at abcnews.gov, and it's by Suline Miller. And you can actually follow her at S-U-P-L-E-N Miller. So the name of the article is, believe it or not, Bob Dole Can't Sway Who? Republicans. Who is it? Republicans to back UN Disabilities Treaty. What? You can't get the Republicans to back the UN Disability Treaty when it was President Bush who actually approved the ADA, and for how many decades they have been bipartisan on disability issues, but now this can't happen? Hello, Congress. What's up with that? Is there a reason for your low 20% ratings? I think so at this point, but I'm not going to get into that. We're going to go and find out what they had to say about rejecting the treaty. Okay, the article from ABC News states, quote, and by the way, this is not the full article, so if you want to read the full article, you can go ahead and we have the link out on Facebook at Esther's Blog Tips, and you can go out and take a look at it. So please support all the links that we put up for our show. Okay. Former Republican Senator Bob Dole of Kansas appeared the Senate floor in a wheelchair today to make a last-minute appeal for senators to ratify the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. So let's get this straight. Former Republican Senator Bob Dole of Kansas appeared on the Senate floor, where? In a wheelchair today, right? In a wheelchair, trying to make the point of how important this is, to make a last-minute appeal for senators to ratify the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disability, but his appearance did not sway enough Republicans to support the treaty. Did you hear that? Even when face-to-face with someone whom they personally know, who needs help getting around, who can use the treaty if he goes abroad to be able to hopefully get him around better, they reject. Can you believe it? I'm going to go on. It failed by a vote of 61-38. Can you believe that? Falling short of the supermajority needed for passage, the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities would declare that all citizens, regardless of ability, deserve to live in dignity, safety, and equality. So basically, are these Republicans saying that the people with disability do not deserve to live in dignity, safety, and equality under our laws? Who is this Congress, and who are they working for? Okay, I'm going to go on. If it had been voted through, the United States would have been added as a party to the convention. Now, isn't that odd? The country that has the highest standard on disability in helping people, allowing them to actually be able to access facilities, the one that, number one, refuses to sign the treaty. Hello? Is this making sense to someone? After how much? Decades of bipartisan support on disabilities. I'm not getting that. All right, I'm going to go on with the article. The convention would not create any new rights and don't already exist under U.S. law, and would not require changes to existing legislation. In fact, it would encourage the other countries to model their treatment of disabled people around the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990, which was spearheaded by Dole and signed into law by President George H.W. Bush. Hello? Are they just having some amnesia here? I don't know. Okay, I'm going to go on. The issue came under extreme opposition from some conservatives, providing a highly charged and at times emotional debate pitting some Republicans against those in their own party, the ones who know to do the right thing, maybe, from my perspective. Opponents led by Senator Mike Lee, which is Republican Utah, argued that international standards could erode U.S. sovereignty and should not be addressed during a lame duck session. Come on. They're hardly even in a session. Lame duck? They didn't even do anything in the lame duck. From my perspective, the last lame duck they had was pretty lame. So when do they think they need to get something done? Do they think they need to just be on vacation? And if that's the case, maybe they should all just retire, from my perspective. I'm going to go on. Lee charged that the treaty would threaten the rights of parents in the United States to determine the best education, treatment, and care for their disabled children. Not true. I don't know if they think we can't read or we're not paying attention, but don't they realize their decisions are impacting people's lives? Okay, I'm going to go back in. I simply cannot support a treaty that threatens the rights of parents to raise their children with the constant looming threat of state interference, Lee said. Proponents of the treaty dismissed those concerns, and others, like from former Senator Rick Santorum, who said that language in a treaty guaranteeing the disabled equal rights to reproductive health could lead to abortions. And that's a myth. You know, it's amazing how it's so much easier. This is me interjecting here. And, you know, it's so much easier to create opposition for these group of representatives, Congress. I just can't sit Republican Congress people. I do not understand why they are hurting so many people. I don't know if they go home and sleep at night or not, or toss and turn. But if they're supposed to be caring for the people, they really have a strange way of showing it. Okay, I'm going to go on. We're facing an entirely fictitious set of arguments on abortion, on homeschooling, on the lame duck session. I'm glad somebody's calling them out. All of their arguments have been contradicted by the facts and the laws. What is it? All of their arguments, some, no. One of them, no. All of their arguments have been contradicted by the facts and the law. Senator John Kerry, Democrat, Massachusetts, says, thank you, Senator Kerry. How is it possible that a treaty that, according to our Supreme Court, offers no recourse, no change in American law, no access to American courts, how is it possible that such a treaty could threaten anybody in our country? The simple answer is, it doesn't, and it can't. So, Congress, why did you not pass it? And particularly, Republican congressional members, why did you not pass it? You'll be held accountable for this. The treaty would create a committee that can be non-binding recommendations and suggestions. And what I meant by that is that I personally hope that your constituents will realize how you've treated those with disabilities. And if they are disabled, they will choose to make sure that they vote for someone who is not only protecting their interests, but are for the people in America, and particularly the 47% who are in such dire straits now. It's unbelievable. And it's only because of decisions that people are making, not about their lives, but with other people's lives who are hurting. And in my opinion, not being as sensitive as they should be. Senator John Kyle, Republican in Arizona, split his fellow Arizona Republican Senator John McCain, as he said he opposed the treaty. So thank you, Senator McCain, for voting for the treaty to pass, because it could use as a cover for countries that do not uphold rights. That's what Senator Kyle was saying, which we also have debunked at this point. I don't believe that we need to ratify an international convention to demonstrate our firm commitment in this area, Kyle says. Just as with many treaties before this one, the CRPD would offer cover to regiments that have no intentions of actually helping their citizens, while needlessly tying the hands of countries like the United States that have actually made great strides in this area. And unfortunately, this also has been debunked. Not true. I don't know where the blinders are, but you know, I think we need to take them off or really take a look at how they're making these decisions and why. What's the underlying reason for denying, not supporting this treaty? Or some of the other legislation, in particular ERISA reform, in my opinion. Why aren't they supporting this legislation? Okay. 8 Senate Republicans broke ranks with their party and voted for the treaty. Kudos to you, 8. It's Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire, John Barrasso, of Wyoming, Scott Brown of Massachusetts, Susan Collins and Olympia Snow of Maine, Richard Lugar of Indiana, and McCain of Arizona, and Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Thank you for showing that you can actually be more concerned about the people that you're trying to help than your own interest. Now, after the Congress refused to ratify the treaty, fortunately, President Obama always tends to, in my opinion at least, tries to do what he can to make life better for any of our citizens. He doesn't, from my perspective, doesn't care about their creed, their color, their able or disabled. And what he did on December 3rd, 2012, is he signed a presidential proclamation on International Day of Persons with Disability. And this was in 2012. And I'm just going to read a quick statement from there. Sorry, I realize I guess I'm hitting the microphone there. My apologies. Okay, the proclamation reads as follows. Americans have always understood that each of us is entitled to a set of fundamental freedoms and protections under the law, and that when everyone gets a fair shot at opportunity, a lot of us do better. For more than two decades, how many decades? Two decades, our country has upheld those basic promises for persons with disabilities through the Americans with Disabilities Act, a sweeping civil rights bill that moved our nation forward in the journey to equality for all. For who? For all. All from making health care more affordable to ensuring new technologies are accessible. We have continued to build on that progress, guided by the belief that equal access and equal opportunity are common, what are they? Common principles that unite us as what? One nation. I have to stop here for a quick second. We are one nation, whether we act like it or not. We are indivisible with liberty and justice for all. You remember those words? We are one nation, and we all deserve the respect and dignity and the opportunity to live a full and healthy life. So I'm going to go back to the proclamation here. On the 20th International Day of Persons with Disability, we affirm that the struggle to ensure the rights of every person does not end at our borders, but extends to every country and every community. Thank you, Mr. President, for getting this. That was me interjecting. It continues for the woman who is at greater risk of abuse because of a disability, and for the child who is denied the chance to get an education because of the way he was born. It goes on for one, how many? Billion, not two or three, 1 billion people with disabilities worldwide who are what? Too often cannot attend school, find work, access medical care, and receive fair treatment. Let's read this again. It says, it goes on for the 1 billion people with disabilities worldwide. Worldwide, Congress, this is who you're impacting by your decisions, who all too often cannot attend school, find work, access medical care, or receive fair treatment. And this is what you want to stop? Republican Congress people, all except those 8? Is that what you really want to do? These injustices are affront to our shared humanity, which is why the United States has joined 153 other countries around the world in signing the Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities, which calls on nations to establish protections and liberties like those afforded under the Americans with Disability Acts. While Americans with disabilities already enjoy these rights at home, they frequently face barriers when they travel, conduct business, study, or reside overseas. Ratifying the convention in the Senate would reaffirm America's position as a global leader on disability rights and better position us to encourage progress towards inclusion, equal opportunity, full participation, independent living, and economic sufficiency for persons with disabilities worldwide. Congress, Republican Congress, who did not ratify the treaty, this is what you're saying you are against from my point of view. Okay, ratifying the convention in the Senate would affirm America's position as a global leader, so we're not obviously a global leader anymore, right? If we're not going to lead and we're not going to show others, but let me go on here. Ratifying the convention in the Senate would affirm America's position as a global leader on disability rights, so we didn't do that, and better position us to encourage progress towards inclusion, right? So I guess you guys are showing you don't particularly care for inclusion, perhaps. Equal opportunity. Are you saying you don't want equal opportunity for people who are disabled? Full participation, independent living, and economic sufficiency for persons with disabilities worldwide. I challenge this Congress to show that that's really what they want for people with disabilities. In my opinion, them not ratifying this treaty is an indication that they do not put those issues at the forefront. But we also have the full proclamation by President Obama, if you actually want to go out and take a look at that. So it's really sad that the Senate decided not to ratify the treaty. I'm very disappointed.